So I want to talk to you, you know, so we talked about that a couple of times. We need to share a little bit more about our identity in Christ because, you know, the devil is an identity thief. He goes and steals people's identity and tells them something they are that which they're not. You know, you're a child of God. You know, it doesn't matter if you're Finnish. You're a child of God. It doesn't matter if you're First Nation. You're a child of God first. You know, and that's what's important. Thank God for all our heritage, some of you Italians out there, and so on. Thank God for that. But, you know, your first is that you're born again, you're a child of God. That's important. So we need to recognize that, firstly, so that we don't get mixed up and put the other things first. I want to talk to you briefly about the local church. In Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read a couple of things here that is going to be very, very important to us this morning for our discussion in terms of baptism as well, how that actually hinges on, you know, everything meets together, everything has a purpose. And so let's go and look at Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go and see verse, let's see what we need here. I believe this is verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4. Maybe get that on the screen here for everyone so that we can read it together. He gave gifts unto men. I believe that's the verse of scripture that we can look at. The word of God, and we're going to see the word church in another area, but I want to talk to about the local church and the need for a pastor, a need for a local home. And the lead, you know, those kinds of needs for all of us. He said, wherefore he said, I'm reading the, I believe the King James here. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up high, I was talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And of course, when Jesus died, he went to a place where people were held before Jesus got born, you know, came alive. There was people there and he went and got those people and took them to heaven with him. There's a place called, I believe it's called Abraham's bosom or whatever it's called. There's a place that was, you know, people were kept there. And they were until the time that they can come and you know, receive and go to heaven. He gave gifts unto men. Jesus said when he left, he gave gifts unto men. Then over there in verse 11, he gave some to be apostles or some apostles. Not he said he gave some apostles. In that particular order, he led, you know, those people, apostles are called people who are, what do we call, missionaries. They're also called missionaries in one sense, you know, people who establish churches and go out and do that. And they also, you know, were, you know, if you never went to Bible school, not every missionary is an apostle, and not every elder in the church is a pastor. And not, you know, but every pastor is an elder, but not every elder is a pastor. So you know, all of us have to have those qualities of being an elder. You can call me Elder Roma, you know, for all your First Nations dudes. You can call me elder if you want, and that's okay. But after I'm past 60, so I am an elder. In fact, they tell me that wherever I go buy stuff, they said, can I see your card? I said, what card? He said, aren't you an elder? I said, yeah, I'm a senior. Sometimes I try some areas. I went to one store, Wizard store the other day. I said, you know, can I use my elder's card? They said, no, you can't not use it. You better go to, what is that store called, Shoppers? They give that there on Thursdays. I was trying to push my other cards over there. That was at an electronics store. I tried to buy electronics with my card. They said, no way. Jose? So anyway, he gave some apostles, some prophets, as people who are seers, people who could see into the realm of the Spirit. You know, let's go back to apostles for a minute. Apostles, the Bible says in chapter 1 Corinthians 12 over there, I believe it's chapter 12 somewhere on there. He says there that apostles are people who have signs and wonders in their ministry. They come with power, demonstrating God's power. If you watch read the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul had signs and wonders to establish church, to make people obedient unto the Lord, to establish them, to see that God's power is on him. So that's one thing about the apostle. Not everybody that calls himself evangelist as well is an evangelist. They're called exhorters, people who just bring people to Jesus. They bring them to the front. But real evangelists have the power gifts in manifestation. There's miracles and signs and wonders. That's a real New Testament man of God there for that job. So then he says evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice the word pastors and teachers go together. I believe that. According to Scripture, if you're a pastor, you have to be able to teach. Not just preach, but teach. That means also train. Raise up other people. Have other programs in a local fellowship where people have the ability to train. Children have to be trained. You know, you can't be training at home watching Christian television. Thank God for that. You can learn some things from there and be exhorted to come in. But you can't learn the things you need to learn without an anointed teacher, anointed elder, someone, there's a special anointing on that person to actually teach you stuff and transfer some things to you that you couldn't get on your own from a book or from just staying at home reading the Bible. The Scriptures teach that. And otherwise, you know, people have said to me a lot of times over the years, I don't need a local church. In fact, they tell me there's no local churches. There's no good pastors in the city. There's not even one pastor, one guy told me. And yet he was selling Christian books. I looked at him in amazement. Have you read your Bible? Why would God put pastors over there, you know, and not, you know, mean God doesn't love the city of Thunder Bay, that there's not one pastor in the city? He puts pastors in the church, in the local church, so that they're anointed people with certain gifting spiritually to help people develop. Where else are you going to get somebody like myself tell you stuff that your wife couldn't tell you? or your husband. We're anointed, equipped to do that stuff. Now, somebody can come here and try to say the things I say to you, but you wouldn't accept it because there's no anointing on it. So thank God that there is anointing there for people. You know, God called me to the ministry of a pastor. I was trying to be an evangelist for a number of years. God said, no, you're a pastor. Well, I didn't want to be a pastor. Like some of you say, I don't want to go to church. Well, you have to go to church. You need to get cleaned up once in a while. You stink. Fish need to be cleaned, amen? So people, you know, I'm using some, you know, scenarios, but I'm not telling you actually physically stink. You could be, but, you know, I'm getting myself deeper into water. Excuse me. Okay, so notice that for these gifts, God gave gifts unto them, and he itemized in verse 11 what those gifts are. And specifically speaking, the pastor is the teacher, and he's the fellow there that is over that flock, and he needs to raise that church up and give them whatever they need for their nourishment and growth. And they're gifts. So if you don't receive a pastor as a gift, it's pretty hard for you to really interact and get the nourishment that you need, because all you're going to think about is, all I'm trying to do is spoil your fun and make you do stuff in the church that I want to do. Well, I don't need a children's ministry, you know, a children's church, but people need it. People need other people, other local fellowship people to help them grow. And you need a home. So he says, those gifts were given, notice that in verse 11, for the perfecting of the saints. What does that word mean, perfecting? It means maturing, to develop, to grow, for somebody to develop in the things of God. It's like you might be sitting here, been here for 20 years, but you're thinking, I've done all my developing. I need to know you haven't. The word of God is inexhaustive. You never stop learning. You might grow in phases. You might grow for one thing, then you might grow another time. So if you're 6 years old and said, no, never think, oh, I've done all my growing. Well, just because you're old doesn't mean you stop growing. No, you don't. You grow continually for the perfecting of the saint. Notice this, for the work of the ministry. So we train to do the work of the ministry so that we can get other people into the kingdom of God to train to help them in the things of God. Now, this night might be the most exciting message. I want you to smile at me once in a while to say, you know, Pastor, you're doing a great job, okay? Don't fall asleep on me, because I realize, you know, these things are not that exciting, you know? Like Wednesday, we had everybody climbing on the walls here. You know, Pastor had the anointing on him. There was different things happening, people flying off each other, spit going on, crying, tears everywhere, laughing and, you know, so on, dancing. It's wonderful. How many of you were here? Several of you were here. And so, wasn't that good? Was it good? It was a different kind of anointing, right? So maybe you need that too. Some of you that need to come there on those nights. So why do you need, you know, the Bible says, you know, we people asking questions, you know, why do I need to be a local church? Why do I need a pastor, a spiritual somebody in my life? Well, you do need spiritual leaders in your life. You need a leader in your life. You need pastoring. You need to have a place called home. Your spiritual home. How many people like a good home-cooked meal? If you've been traveling, you appreciate, you know, you're traveling, you have to travel. I know Ed travels constantly, and he travels everywhere with his stuff that he does in business. And he's happy when he comes home to Maxine to have a nice home-cooked meal, sleep in his own bed. You know, it's wonderful. How many people, you go visit somewhere, you want to sleep in your own bed, right? You just, man, there's nothing like your bed, your own pillow, right? And, you know, especially if you're staying in somebody's home, thank God they let you in their home. But, you know, you can't just prance around at nighttime in your little clothes, whatever you wear, and you got to cover up, put everything on, and go over here. But if you're in your home, it's just free, you're free. It's nice to be in your own home. And so you have that privacy. And you have all these things happen. You have that security in home. And you can eat your meals and so on. People need their own home church. You can be yourself. And your brothers and sisters are there. You know, you need a brother and sister. In a local family, a local church is a family. And you need family members. Sometimes, you know, you don't listen to me, your family member will tell you. And they tell you that you're not behaving right. And so it helps you, because there's a positive peer pressure in the local church that helps you develop in the things of God. How many people can say amen on that? Yeah? You know, because people tell you, sometimes people don't do it properly. If you've been missing several weeks, they say, where you been? Or if you quit, you know, we try to tell people, don't say that. Especially if somebody's gone for months and months at a time, you know, and they're mad and they say, I'm not ever coming back, you know, I'm mad at this, you know. They're so mad and they come back finally, maybe some after 2-3 years, and then somebody, the first person that sees them says, I told you you'd be back. I knew you would be back. No, you don't do that. You just say, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, let me kiss you here. You know, and take you out and just pamper you a little bit and just happy to see you. So I want you to know that when someone missing, just greet them. You don't have to say anything. Just say, hi, how are you? Good to see you. So the local church, everybody needs to be pastored. Everybody needs ongoing training. Everybody needs maturity in their lives. It's something that just never stops happening. Everybody needs a home, a family. Everybody needs to relate to like-minded people. You know, thank God for our other brothers and sisters in the city who are Christians, but they don't necessarily believe just like you. And if you need to pray a certain way or need to believe God for a certain way, and you know that these people can take care of that spiritual need. We went out last night having meal with somebody. Last night, we won't mention any names. But we had stopped and talked about some things, and somebody mentioned about, you know, about the prayer cloth, like Pastor Steve was talking about. And that happened a number of times in this church, where somebody was dying in the church, over here at the ICU, dying. And so they came and took that cloth. The doctor said that person's going to die. I myself heard that with the doctor myself. A number of times. They're going to die. And medical science has given up on them. They said, I'm going to take that cloth. We're going to, according to Acts chapter 19, 11 and 12, we'll take that cloth And we're going to pray, believe God, and lay that cloth on that person, and we believe that healing will be ministered to that person spiritually. Whether they feel something or not has nothing on it. You say, well, he didn't feel anything. It doesn't matter. It has something to do with faith. And so we took that cloth, and that took that person. That person was about to die. There's one person that had a very, very bad illness. The doctor said that this is the sickest person in the hospital. This person's going to die. Took that cloth, put it on that person. Within several weeks or something, that person walked out of the hospital. They said, this is a miracle. They said, this is a miracle. That's because the cloth was ministered by faith with these people over here, prayed that that person would stay alive and go back to their family. That person was just a young person, a young man. And we had these kind of stories, but it's good to go to a place where people relate to you. You can do that. But if I went to another church, they don't do that. It's nice to go where people can understand that there's something. And that's why I say, thank God I learned from the churches I went to. But as I got on older and I needed more information, and I found people who actually believe a little bit beyond some other people. And some people are comfortable at a certain spiritual level. But not you. You like to be pushed a little bit. You like to be encouraged to grow a little bit more and do things for the things of God. Not for your glory, but for the glory of God. And I tell you, if you go into the pastoral ministry, you're going to know for sure it's not for your glory. If you want to quit, so many people say they ever feel like quitting every week, man. Every week for I don't know how many years now, Pastor Steve, 30 years or something. Yeah, you know, I ask you, I tell you, you can quit every week, but come back Sunday. Yeah, come back Sunday and quit every week. When I was a social worker, I worked with abuse, like sexual child abuse, and I worked in. I couldn't stand it. Every day I quit. Every week I quit. I said, "Here's my keys to the car, to the agency car. I ain't coming back." They said, "No, Roma, listen, take a few days off. Don't even come back Monday. You know, listen, you come back when you can." I would do that. I did that for 2 years, and they kept me going every two years. Like, you know, you feel like you're in a crisis. I couldn't stand it. But in this church, it's not about quitting. You got to finish your course. Amen. So we need family. We need the spiritual family. We need people who we can relate to specifically to. Here's what 2 Peter 1:1 says. I'm talking about spiritual fellowship and connectivity. Simon Peter, 1 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant. Notice this. He says, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them, he's writing to not only Simon Peter, the apostle and servant, but to them that have obtained like precious faith. We have a relationship because we have this precious faith in our lives. We follow, you know, the life of faith that God has called us to. That Bible says, the just shall live, shall walk by faith. We believe that we should walk by faith. Everything is by faith. Everything you get in the kingdom of God is by faith. You believe God for whatever you have in church. You don't just allow things to happen to you. So we are identified in this particular body as Faith City Church. We're not Evangel Church. We're not Grace Church. We're not Church on the Rock, Church over the Rock, under the Rock. We're Faith City Church. So we have a certain way here, a certain custom, a certain way to behave. You have to know how to behave in there's certain places. Thank God. Pastors are out there for a reason. Church is out there for a reason. No pastor. If you have no pastor, then you have no home, spiritually speaking. And that's a bad place to be if you're in the kingdom of God. In Hebrews, it says, don't neglect weekly gatherings. So if that's just for some people, or is that just for all people? I believe it's for all people. Over here in Hebrews chapter 10:25, the Common English Bible. You ever read the Common English Bible? Some of you should read the Common English Bible, because obviously sometimes the King James doesn't make sense to you. We have to read the Common English Bible because it's for everybody. It says here, look at this. Hebrews 10:25, Common English says, don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near. You know, everywhere you go, you get this feeling that people say, these are the last days, and Jesus could be coming any second, any moment. You know, so many people say, live like he's, he's coming anytime. But work like he's never going to come back. Keep working. Keep building homes. Keep helping people. It's like Jesus is coming right away. But live like he's coming back any second. Think like that. Feel like that. Do that. So don't stop neglecting. Don't neglect to keep coming to church. So all your friends who say, I don't need church. I can stay home and watch it online. And thank God, we put it online for some people who can't make it, who actually need to see it for the first 4 or 5 times to see this is great. I'm thinking about right now some people in this church who saw the television program online. They saw Spirit Alive on global television, and said, is that in town? Yeah, that's in town. I'm going to check it out. So they came here and they never left. So they found home. This feels like home. It feels, something. Home feels like a certain way. You identify. Here's what Luke said. Like Jesus is our example. Jesus showed us that he met regularly with other people, other believers, so to speak, as his custom or as a tradition or as his practice. We shouldn't neglect the Lord's day and spend it selfishly on our personal things. This has been ordained by God that we meet regularly on a certain day together to hear God's word spoken by the set man of God on that particular day. God gives the man of God certain things he teaches so that when you run into trouble, you know exactly what to do. This lady right over here had a stroke. I've been teaching many times on different things. She stroked, she fell down, could have died. She's in the hospital, she can't talk. And she heard her pastor talking to her, me. And she heard me saying this, and she came out of that stroke unscathed. It's like nothing happened to her. Amen. You need to hear somebody with precious faith that will tell you things that help you when you need it. You might not need healing. Some people say, well, I don't need healing today. I don't need to hear healing. Yeah, someday you might if you live 60. If you live 50, you might at 35, you might not need it, but somewhere along the line, you're going to need it. So God protects you and shows you. So here's what it says in Luke 4:16. This is talking about Jesus. So he came to Nazareth, Nazareth, where he had been brought up. See, he was brought up in the church. He was brought up in the, in the church, so to speak, his synagogue here. He entered into the synagogue, and as was his custom on a Sabbath day, he stood up for to read. So there's the word in there. You see the word that he had to go there publicly. He could have done it by himself. Why is it that in the Bible? It's got to be for a reason that we gather together to read the Bible. And it says in there that we should read the Bible together. If you read Timothy is a pastor there of a church, and he said, make sure you read the scriptures together and teach on them. Teach them faith. So be under a pastoral care in a local church. In that care, you must submit under the guidance and protection where God wants you for his will and for his purpose. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, in the Amplified, it says, there's 10 and nurture, he's talking to the pastor, 10 and nurture and guard and guide the fold, that is the local church. The flock of God, that is your responsibility, it's my responsibility or a pastoral responsibility, not by coercion or constraint. Like, pastors who, like we learn in leadership, there's a certain type of leadership which is good for everybody. You don't just tell people things to scare them to do things. People want to do things because they want to do them. They want to work with you because they want to work with you. They want to be with you because they want to be with you, not because you scared them. God's going to get you, If you don't tithe, he'll kill you and break your legs. No, that's not how you do things. You know, we found if we found a way that it's not making sense, we teach it in a way that people can understand. Tithing is not a law. I mean, it's a law. God calls it a law. I mean, the law means the word, right? That's what James says. But you don't have to pray either. You don't have to do a lot of things, but it's better if you did. Follow what God says. So we don't try to make people do things. We just say, you know, hey, you know, pull up your socks. Get part of the program. So it says in there, but willingly, not of dishonorably. This is a new amplified, you know, the classical. Motivated by advantages or profits, so we're not doing it. Obviously, because we're not getting big cars and houses. We're doing it because God said to do it, called us to do it. So belonging to the office, you know, there's profits with that. But eagerly and cheerfully, not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock of the congregation. So our job as pastoral leaders is that's what people look at. I was having some conversation with some young people, and they said, you know, hey, Pastor Steve is such a good example of being a dad. And they're a good example of being a mom and dad. People have told me that many times as well. You know, and not only Pastor Steve, but I mean, all of us have that. Thank God. I mean, sometimes we don't like that because people try to put it on a negative. What? You're a pastor. There's sometimes, you know, people think, you know, funny things because they read Hollywood things, you know, whatever. They say, are you doing your own shopping? You see you at the shopping store, at the grocery store. Do you shopping? I said, yeah. I feed myself too. So everyone needs spiritual care. Everyone needs spiritual leaders. We are like your parents. This is like your home. Paul called Timothy son. And Titus, he called him son. Paul called other Christian members brothers and sisters. This is your family. This is your home. This is where you belong. This is where you can call home. You got brothers and sisters there. Sometimes you fight, you know. People fight in church a lot of times. They fight about different things, silly things sometimes. They fight about things and they say, I'm leaving the church. I'm quitting the church. Okay, just go home. We'll come and talk about that later. So, and the devil, you know, gets in there and tries to divide people. Here's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. It says there, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that they has come from their lives and follow their example of faith. You know, we follow people in our lives. I legitimately, purposely said in my life at one point, I said, you know, I got to find somebody as a leader. Even when I was a kid living on the reserve, I thought about looking at somebody. Who can I find? I need to find somebody as a role model, as a kid. You know, I was just a young man on the reserve looking for leadership. I want somebody I can look up to. I couldn't find somebody, so I tried to find somebody else outside of the community. I saw come across a newspaper clipping, and somebody was showing somebody in my little community. We had just had small family members in this part of our community. And they said, hey, look at this guy. This guy's a First Nations guy from Kenora, Ontario. He's the first Native person to graduate from Lakehead University. I said to my young, I was just, I don't know, 7 years old, I said, I'm going to do that. And I found somebody, and I said, yeah, you know, because at that time, hardly any First Nations people ever went to university. In fact, we were prohibited to go to university for many years. I said, I'm going to do that. Of course, I graduated from Lakehead several years later. We all need examples. And I remember thinking, okay, who can I find as a spiritual father? So I found Kenneth Hagin. I said, I want to be like him. I want to teach like him. I want to learn what he learned. And the Lord said to me one day, he said, I want you to go to Tulsa and sit under that ministry, and I want to put whatever they got on them, that anointing, I want to put it on you. So I went. And that's what God put on me. He's not finished with me. He's just starting. I feel like I'm just starting now. what I'm supposed to do. Verse 17 says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. This is the new living. Their work is to watch over your souls. You know your soul, what your soul is? Look at me for a second. Your soul is the way you think. Your soul is how you feel about things. My job is to help you think right, think about what God says about what you should be thinking, and feel about what God says how to feel about things. That's my job. That's why every week I get on you. I press you. And sometimes you don't like it. But, you know, if you had a spiritual dad, they tell you what to do. You don't always like what your dad told you. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, you know, being corrected doesn't always feel good. But at the end, you're going to feel a whole lot better. That's good. And so you need somebody who doesn't mind doing that to take that job seriously and to train people and to push you and to tell you different things. And that's why I shouldn't always be your best friend, to sit down with you and pat you on the back and kiss your wounds, you know. Like if you hang around with me, you'll find out I'm human. You say, hey, you know, that guy goes to the washroom. You know, he is human. I thought he was a gift from heaven. But something stinks in here. And so we have to understand, you know, Pastor Ken, you know, at first when he hung around with me, and, you know, I'm also his colleague, but I'm also his pastor. And sometimes he was trying to correct me. One time he thought I was drinking beer. We were at a wedding, and liquor. He comes to me, he's so mad. He said, I thought you were supposed to be drinking that. I said, some kind of juice or something. I said, this is juice. Smell it. And so, you know, he was trying to look after me. He knew I was an alcoholic before. He didn't want me to drink and go on a rampage. That evening, he heard about all my stories, how I went on a rampage on different things. You know, went on a warpath and did all kinds of things. Now, I can say that, but you can't. Warpath. Okay. Acts 4:23. You know, after, you know, people, you know, you suffer in life, you go through different struggles. Acts 4:23, it says that after a suffering spiritual attack, these people were in danger for their lives, and they needed their own home, and they needed to find a people who can relate to them, and they needed spiritual help. Oftentimes, they find people, you know, they run around everywhere. I had different people over the years. They run around at different meetings. They come back all messed up in their mind. They're just so confused about everything because they heard, they were feeding on something. Might have been part of it, might have been good, but some of it might have been poisonous. And so it affected their thinking. And so I had to go and, you know, sit down and straighten their thinking out and say, listen, you know. And I was able to help them get out of it. And so verse 23 says, and being let go, this is after they were doing what God told them to do, and they got into trouble with people who opposed them. The devil will oppose you. So they were let go. They went to their own company or companions. Spiritually speaking, you have certain kind of companions that are walking on this journey that you can relate to, that you can believe God, that you feel safe with, to tell them anything about your spiritual needs. And so they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests, and then they began to pray, and God began to intervene, because the Bible says, whatever two agree on earth as touching anything shall be done to them by my Father who is in heaven. They knew that before this happened, because the Bible says that Jesus told them that if you find somebody who can agree with you about something, it's going to be done. These were the same guys. They were using that principle. We had a lot of times, you know, when people ask me, pray for me, agree with me. I said, okay, you pray, I will agree. You're asking me to pray. I don't need prayer. You need prayer. So you pray and I'll agree. So if they pray unscriptural, then I said, wait a minute, I can't agree with that because that's not Bible. So I want to hear what you have to say first in your prayer time. I can say amen on it if I know it's scriptural. Because you can't say amen on something if, that's why you say, people, pray for me, pray for me. You don't know what they believe. So let's find out what they believe first. Then it's going to work if you believe. So it's not just any company. There's a specific place designed for you. It's the right place for you, a place where you belong. You know, to somewhere with some group of people. Here over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, it says in here, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He said, but now God had set every member, God set the members, the King James says every member, every one of them in the body as it pleased him. God places you, puts you where you're supposed to belong. And people sometimes, they put themselves where they shouldn't belong. They just go where it's a nice building or something, or they like the music there, whatever. God puts you where you're supposed to belong. If I went just for the music, I'd be living in a record shop somewhere. Just beside the whatever, you know, Pizza Hut. I like pizza. So God sets you someplace where you should be to hear what you need to hear from that pastor, from that church. You are the body of Christ. God set every member, verse 28 says, God had set some in the church. God had set every one of these people in the church. So if God set a pastor in a certain place at a certain time and he has in mind that you're supposed to be set there, that's where you should be. This all fits in like he said. You know, here's what I was told. There's some people that's going to love you no matter what. Right? And no matter what I do, there's some people will never like me. And then there's some people, they don't care. They don't care. But I think it's better where you should be. I remember when I went to Tulsa, I didn't like, the style of church they had at Tulsa. I didn't like Kenneth Hagin Jr. I didn't like his preaching. I didn't like how, I like listening to teaching. Kenneth Hagin Jr. is a preacher. Kenneth Hagin Sr. is he's an apostle, and he's a teacher. I like listening to him. So I wanted to go to another church. There's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of churches, all kinds of stuff happening every weekend. Every weekend there's something. Every weekend there's Joyce Meyer or Benny Hinn over there. There's Oral Roberts University. There, whatever it was. The Lord said to me, no, I asked you to sit here. I asked you to be here. I asked you to work in the children's department. Go work in the children's department. So I work in the children's department. I asked you to go to a prayer meeting. There's only three of us in a huge church. There's lots of little prayer groups, three at a time, four at a time. And I would go to a prayer meeting all the time, be at the prayer group. Become an usher, be an usher. Be an usher, in the healing service they have every day. So I began to put myself to work in these areas. And God says, I don't want you to go over there. I said, I want to go to Church on the Move. I like that church. I've been watching Gospelville for years. I want to be there. You know, I want to go to sit under Bob Yanyan. He's the greatest teacher that I know. I want to go sit under him. He's a pastor. I want to go to Carlton Pearson. You know, there's different churches over there, all kinds of them. And then there was one over there, Charles Capps' daughter was running, a local church on the side over there. I want to go there. I like confession of faith. This is all my mind, see? See how you get screwed up? So it fits like a puzzle. You need somewhere to fit in. You're gonna go home sometime today, right? Sometime today you're gonna go home. Sometimes I don't make home late till late because I'm running different places. I get home, late at night. The first thing I do is I find my favorite, inside clothes. Off all my jeans. I don't want this restricted jeans. I don't need this belt. I don't need this shirt. I want to get my, my grubby old sweatpants. Where's my chair? So you want to go and be comfortable. In your home church, it feels like that. This is home. These are the people. These are your people. Everybody say, these are my peeps. You know, you fit somewhere, and you don't mind to be pastored. The Bible says in Psalm 23, Psalm 23 is a picture of you and I right now with Jesus. Psalm 23 is a revelation that Jesus is your shepherd, and it's a revelation of your walk with him. The Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus is the head shepherd, and Jesus put other shepherds underneath him to tend the flock. So I'm an under-shepherd helping in the local church. The Bible tells us that's what happens. And so he gave gifts unto men. You get a certain amount of support. You know, people are missing out on what God ordained for them in the local church. Sometimes they don't think significantly about it because they don't realize they need whatever supports they need. You better kick that guy in front of you. You don't know what you miss until you discover it. How many people know that when you finally got something, you say, you know what, I miss this all my life. I should have had it earlier. You know, thank God. Psychologists tells us that we need certain basic support systems in our lives. We need to obtain goals. We need a sense of well-being and to feel secure, protected. We need to have a certain level of basic needs. We need to eat right. We need to have a certain nourishment in our body so that you don't get sick or the food doesn't kill you if you overload on certain things. You know? You're rushing to the home tonight. Some people says, you know, Brother Hagin, you say, some people are digging their own grave with every bite they have because they're eating things that's not good for them. Sorry to say that. I mean, that could be true. The Lord will lead us in all ways. So, he gives us shepherds. Here's what it says in the 23rd Psalm, I believe the Amplified. The Lord is my shepherd. In brackets, it has this, to feed, to guide, and shield me. Shepherds feed, shepherds guide, shepherds shield. From what? Well, let's find out what the Bible says about the shielding. Of course, the local church insulates you from certain things that otherwise could attack you. If you need shelter, you need protection, that's where you find it here, spiritually speaking. I'm not talking about just physical needs. Like, you know, you're at home, but you're still at home in the sense that you're here because you're getting continual nourishment. You're in your home, but you're still getting that spiritual nourishment. You got you feel protected. You feel like, you know, hey, I have this going for me right now. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in tender green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, restful waters. Verse 4 says, yea, do I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, no dread, no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff protect me, and your staff will guide me, they comfort me. I mean, that's a picture of you in my eye today. Holy Spirit will give you stuff here. He'll give you that rod, he'll give you that staff right here where you're supposed to be, that when you got out there, you got it with you wherever you go. The Bible says, lift up the shield of faith. Take the word of God. You know, take the sword of the Spirit. You take that everywhere. But you can't lift up the shield of faith and protect yourself if you've never even learned how to protect yourself. You can't, you know, you have to fight the devil, you know, with the word of God, right? You're bought with a price. Use your you know, your life to, you know, as God ordained. We have to stop. It's 12 o'clock, but we'll continue in local church. I want to show you some benefits, what happens to you. You know, just specifically speaking, what happens to you when you come to a local church? Both on a spiritual and practical level, what happens to you spiritually when you come into a local church? And how to find your local church? How to find your pastor? How to find your church? How to find where you belong in the local church? Now, you don't all go all at once. Okay, let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to have everyone here that's being baptized here right now in this And why don't you come up here and stand in front of me? I'm going to wave my hand over you. No, I'm just kidding. Just come on over here. Praise God. Now, we're going to go to the water. Coming down to the water, we should have sung that song. Let's all go down to the river. Amen. We got to sing that song. Come on now. Can you sing that song? Okay. I thought you did. I thought you knew it. You're down from the Maritimes, no? No, you heard it. So you guys today are getting water baptized. You're born again. And this is a command that I'm following, that God says, go baptize people. You're to respond to it. And you've all been born again. Every one of you been born again. Are you born again? Yes, sir. Man, you're looking better every day. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, shining bright.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know, this man, I found him at the college. He followed me all the way here. I can't get rid of him. We love each other.
Yeah.
We're buds. We're like that. Yeah. So we have a little joke. There's this guy in Tulsa. And every special meeting, he's there. And he comes there with cloths. He'll tie cloths all over his body, all around. He looks like, you know those handkerchiefs? He ties them all over his body, and he danced up in the front. So we're going to get you that. So you can encourage everybody to dance in the church. I know last week we had a nice, wonderful time. So are you going to get baptized too? Are you ready? Amen. Let's give this guy a wonderful hand. Little boy responding. Praise the Lord. I'm proud of you, Benny. Are you going to play hockey today? Okay. Did I tell you to go and fight? Huh? Score goals, right? Yeah. I'm glad. Praise God. Thank God. I'm really happy that you guys are doing this because, you know, if you haven't had the teaching on it, I would go back to it. Because what you're saying that I believe in Jesus. I identify with Jesus. I identify what he did. What happened to his life happened to me. When he rose out of the water, I rose out of the water. Right now, I'm a brand new person. And that Satan is under my feet, and he's not going to stop me. He might try to slow me down. He might try to stop me, but he ain't going to stop me. You're going to go and find, you're going to do what God told you to do. You're going to follow what he said to do. And he's going to try to slow you down all the time. But you know what? You got a family. This is your family. These are people are your people, and they're going to help you. Right, Bronson? In the name of Jesus. This young man, I saw him when he was just a baby. Now look at him. He's a grown man. He's like 6 foot, how many? 6 foot two or something? Big man. He's my bodyguard. This guy too, he's going to put on some weight. I want to send him, Robbie, take care of this man. Take him out to, with your card. It's amazing. You see the kids grow up, make you feel so old, right? Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate that. Don't you appreciate that? You just look at him. Just look at him for a while. I just admire them. Just, you know, this is wonderful. Okay, stretch your head towards them anyway. Father, we want to thank you for, we just celebrate with these people, these wonderful folks of God. And we're praying, Father, for them. We're praying the destiny of God is before them. They have a bright future in the things of God. And whatever they're ordained to do, they're going to do. Some of them are going to be pastors. Some of them are going to be lay people. They're going to be the pastor's best friend. Some people are going to be doing whatever they're going to do, mechanics, whatever they're going to do. Some people are going to be a hockey player even, right? Whatever it is you call them to do. Handmaidens and servants of God. They're going to do, you're already helping us in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. They're going to go into business and do whatever you call them to do. Make money and help people. Thank you, Father. So we commit them to you, all of them right there, as a family. And we dare to say that we're going to help them, whatever, if they need ever need help. And we're going to pray continually for our family members. We're going to pray the Ephesians prayer over them and pray that God, you said in Ephesians 1 and 16, I pray that the wisdom of God so that they'll know exactly what they're called to do. So my prayer is right now, they'll have a clear understanding and what they're called to do, what you've ordained to them, for them to do, as spelled out in your Psalm 139, you said, their days were written a long time ago. and they'll do that, what God said. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You can't be seated. We're going to go over there right after this. God bless every one of you. Have a wonderful afternoon.